The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. That is quite the speech. That is, I don't know, it's a significant charge that's given by Jesus. And I think, as we see him work through what is to be done, what's not to be done, of course, they go out and, mission accomplished, celebration and the rest. We're likely to get a bit lost in the details. So I want to give more of a broader sense of what's going on before we look at, some of the particular instruction that Jesus gives that might well still apply to us 2,000 years on, right? Even though this commission of Jesus for the 72 disciples is, say, like a something of a one-off, right? It's particular to the circumstances that they were facing. There is still something for us to learn from the instruction that Jesus gives. And that's the first thing, is to give it that little bit of context to say, okay, Jesus is making his way through the region, but St. Luke has already told us in the gospel that he's set his face resolutely to Jerusalem. So Jesus, in this part of the gospel, is headed to the cross. And we're supposed to then apply that umbrella to what's going on here, right? That umbrella story to the little stories that take place underneath it. So that's Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. He's making his way to the cross. Here he sends out the 72 disciples with an urgent message. Why is this message urgent? Because this is the last time they're going to hear it. And it's Jesus' effort to prepare the people in the surrounding region to receive him when he comes. Right? He's preparing, of course, for the implementation of the kingdom of God. He has already defeated the Satan in the wilderness. He's overcome his temptations. He then is at work in his life, in his ministry, bringing about the new creation, channeling the love of God to revitalize his world, his whole creation. And that activity doesn't go unnoticed. He's opposed almost everywhere he goes, right? From that first scene preaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, all the way through to this point, and all the way through to the end, to the cross, we're going to see that there's opposition to Jesus and the way of God that not only he brings to life, but also that he exhorts other people to follow. That is at the heart of this message, right? He's sending out his messengers to prepare the way. He's calling people to what? To repentance. Of course he is. He's calling them to repentance. He's calling us to repentance. He could call us to repentance every moment of every day. We'd have something to repent of. Why is that the case? It's because we're not wholeheartedly committed to going God's way. We're not wholeheartedly committed to going the way of peace. We're not wholeheartedly committed to going the way of generous love. the way that makes a difference, the way that's going to make a lasting difference in the world, we're not committed to. They're not committed, right? They're not committed to. He's going out to offer them that last great chance before everything comes to a head. Now, we know that in the grand story, right, everything does come to a head, and it comes to a head after Jesus' death. The judgment on the temple authorities, and Israel as a whole for not picking up Jesus' call to go God's way of peace results in the destruction of the temple in Israel in 70 AD. It's part of God's judgment for his people not heeding the call of Christ. Right? So this is it. They're sent out, stir it up. Jesus is coming through. Here, why is the kingdom of God being announced? Kingdom of God is being announced because there's a king. Jesus is God's anointed king. And he now rules. And through him, God's whole creation will be restored. And that's the message that's going out. God's kingdom of holiness and justice will be brought to life. God's kingdom that will restore the entire world by his love is happening, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just think about the line for a second. Right? What are we praying for? Yes, we're praying for God's kingdom to come. We want the whole world restored by the love of God. But we're praying thy will be done. Why? Because we know that it's only by our committing ourselves to God's will and other people living into God's will that his kingdom is going to happen. Right? It's like we can think of all the trappings of the heavenly kingdom come to earth. How good things will be, this thing and that thing and the other thing. Like we read in the first reading. Yeah, how good it is going to be that Israel will be blessed in such manner as a child at his mother's breast, right? Receiving all goodness from the God who gives. Yeah, and this is the gifts freely given, flowing forth from the heart of God. Like this is what we want. But we realize that's only happening if we commit ourselves to going God's way. And that's the challenge. That's what the disciples are being sent out to accomplish, the proclamation of that kingdom. Let's look, that's powerful enough, right? As you know, this, okay, checkbox one homily. Okay, we've got three more to go. Okay, so this is, no, maybe hopefully one more to go. But this is enough for us. Like the power that is at work in Jesus, the power to heal, the power to restore. And he's sending out his disciples to be part of that. We should hear enough of this for ourselves. We are part of that movement. We have been called. We've been summoned to Jesus. We hear, right? Every time we turn to him in prayer, every time we participate in the sacraments, we are being equipped to be about this work in the world. And he sends us forth to make the proclamation our own and to make the proclamation not only with our lips, but with our lives. And we know, again, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They're inextricably united. Right? You can't pull one out from the other. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We want your kingdom, Lord, and we're committed to your will. Now this is like a little bit inside of that, okay? What else is going on in the passage? When Jesus, he has called these people, this 72. And there are echoes of the Exodus here, but I won't get in. I will spare you the details, okay? But there's echoes of the Exodus. You can look at that, Moses and the taking on of 70 elders to help him and so on and so forth. Okay, but here, what do we see? I want to get into the specific instructions, yeah? Because he has called them. The first thing he says, go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. How often do we think, man, you know, like, I'm living the way of peace, proclaiming with my lips and my lives, just as Father says, you know, I'm doing the Christian thing, I'm going the Christian way, I'm trying to love people as best I can, but man, I feel just like ravaged, you know, like I feel like I'm being attacked, okay, well that's what he said it was going to be that way. Right, so yeah, we might be surprised, we might be caught off guard, we're committed to God, we know that he's going to protect us, we know he's going to accomplish his purposes, but he also tells us that we're going to have opposition. Right? Just as the master himself, just as the Lord himself had opposition, so we're going to experience opposition when we commit ourselves to his way. In fact, from time to time, it might be a sign that we're doing something right. Yeah, because we're being sent out like lambs among wolves. And think about the image even, lambs among wolves. We know that we're going to be attacked. That's fine. And you know what? We're to respond like lambs, like stupid little lambs. That's you, okay? Like the stupid little defenseless sheep. That's you, okay? Yeah, that is you. No, just, you know, this, and just like the first, you know, what do we get that echo from the first reading? Again, that the little baby, right? Okay, look, the image is, okay, the baby has provided everything. But you know what? You're the baby, okay? You're the baby. So you're receiving everything from God. You're to live it out sincerely, even vulnerably, right? The Christian life is to be lived out vulnerably. We're committed to the way of love. When you love someone, you're vulnerable to them. And so you're exposed to the attacks of everybody if you love them. So we should expect to experience this ourselves. It's the first thing that Jesus says. I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Us too. Now what does he say? Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. He's given very specific instructions. Part of that is just a reflection of the urgency of the moment, right? But part of it is that they are not to get caught up in external trappings. They are to be single-mindedly and wholeheartedly devoted to the mission that God is entrusting to them. Right? They are the people called by God. You are the people called by God. You are to be about his work. You are to be about the proclamation of his kingdom. In fact, you are to willingly put yourself under God's loving and merciful rule and work with your whole life to bring his merciful rule to everyone you encounter and to see that it spreads to every corner of creation. That's what you've been called to do. That's what he's called you to do. Okay, now, this is the tough thing, right? We don't ask each other, we don't ask ourselves enough, what's the point of my life? And if we do ask ourselves and answer that question right, that the point of my life is to give glory to God and to be about his purposes, right? To live single-mindedly and wholeheartedly for him, even though we can say that now, and I'll quiz you on it on the way out, but you can say that now, you can commit to it now, but as, you know, as you leave and go about, quote-unquote, your business, are you applying that or are you not? In every moment of your life, look, the answer is no, okay? But look, I'll give you the answer. In every moment of our lives, we're meant to think of and we're meant to, say, live into what best glorifies God. What can I do here where you have me, Lord, that gives you glory? What is the way that best expresses your having loved me into life and my returning all my love to you? What can I do here, Lord, to love these people, the people that you've entrusted to my care? I'm starting to hear, provide a little more air conditioning. Okay, but this is for some other time, okay? It's on my heart. Just go with me. I'm wearing 6 layers, okay? So we're in this together, okay? But this is it. What can I best do? What is most loving? What is the most loving thing to do? What is the thing that best gives you glory, Lord? What is the thing that is a commitment of myself to your way of love and your way of peace? That's what we should be doing every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. Every decision we make should be based on that. What gives God glory? What's the most loving thing to do? Well, but we don't do it, right? And what Jesus does here, these direct instructions, commit his people to his way. He says, take no money, no change of clothes, or whatever you want, right? Don't take anything extra. We're weighed down by everything. We're distracted by everything. We take other things, we've got to maintain those things, right? What are we carrying around with us that we have to maintain? And it might be physical material possessions. It might not be. It might be habits of mind, habits of heart that don't conduce to God's way of love, his way of peace. What do we have to get rid of? And what should we not be looking to accumulate as we go? We're not to be about material possessions, but we're not to be about, we should not be content to accumulate anything that does not conduce to the way of God, to the way that we've been called. Everything should conform to that way. And this is the point, I think, that we can focus on, because if here we acknowledge the fact that we have been called, we are entrusting ourselves to God. We know also that he will achieve his objectives. He will achieve his purposes. The only thing I can do is follow him in faith. That is what's left up to me, is whether or not I will faithfully follow him. Because here we get into it at the end, right? Whoever receives you, okay. Whoever doesn't receive you, shake off the dirt. And so, but you see, it's it's got nothing to do with you in the end, right? You are being faithful to the call. They might receive you or reject you. Okay, but that's not your measure of success. Your measure of success is your fidelity to the call. And in that, you don't need to take with you money bag, sack, and sandals and the rest. Because in that, God will provide for you richly. In the mission that he is entrusting to you, he'll provide for you richly. What do I mean? This is the difference then between the health and wealth gospel that we should disdain and reject, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The health and wealth gospel is this. It's something like, if you follow God, if you follow Jesus, you will be blessed materially with riches, this, that, and the other thing, okay? That's health and wealth. And there are any number of ways to get into that kind of thing. But the way of Jesus is not that way. The way of Jesus is different in a subtle and yet important way. When you commit yourself to God, yes, he will provide for you everything, but caveat, he will provide for you everything that you need in order to accomplish the mission that he's entrusting to you. Right? There's a massive difference. The first one is, he's going to provide what I want. I'm going to get that car that I've been checking out on Auto Trader for 6 weeks. You know, I'm going to get that. I'm going to buy that vacation home. You know what I get? He's going to provide for me because I trust him. No, he's going to, if you need it, in order to advance the mission that he is entrusting to you, then you will get it. It's a big if. This is the things that we ask for, right? When we beg God in prayer for anything at all, it's all about whether or not that thing conduces to advancing his purposes, and especially the mission that he's entrusting to you, which means that you can go out like lambs among wolves and ask God for what you need to sustain you in the journey, in the trek, in the exercise. It's his to give it to you. He's committed to it. But the rest, we realize, we have to let go. But that's the great thing, is that we are a people then who can live totally for God and his purposes. And we can do it not simply because he sent us and because he promises us, and like we can, you know, white-knuckle tough situations and all the rest. No, it's because Jesus himself has accomplished what he is calling us now to do. He has gone the way of peace, and he has gone the way of generous love, and it cost him everything. And he has shown us the way to go, because his overcoming death, even in that way, allows us to defeat every obstacle that comes our way. Because we have his own life of love at work in us and working through us in order that we might be about God's purposes fully and freely, no matter which wolves we face. We're going to face them. But no matter which struggles and hardships and challenges come our way, we will overcome all of them in the power of Christ, with the power and strength of his own life of love at work in us and working through us. We now can go in every moment of our lives God's way of generous love, his way of peace.